This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scala Report, Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. I welcome the CEO of Scala.com, Chris Riegel, traveling and observing the expectation of the end of the pandemic and the post-pandemic work world. We have had examples over this last year anticipating the end of the pandemic at some point of the hybrid workspace, that is, 1 day a week in the office or 2 days a week and 2 or 3 days at home. We've also had examples of the total remote work week, that is, businesses that can converting their staffs into work at home and no central office. And now we have a new version from London. This is featured in a column in the Financial Times. That's the pink newspaper, the business version, the Wall Street Journal of London. And London Loves Business, a blog that watches the life in the city, especially the bankers and the markets in London. And it's about a 4 day work week. So before I fill in the details, I welcome Chris to comment on a 4 day work week. And if he has heard this in his travels, especially from high tech, from the businesses that are clearly knowledge workers. Chris, a very good evening to you. Is 4 days part of the conversation now anywhere? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. In the employer-employee relationship environment and business environment, there's always a pendulum that swings. At some points, the power goes to the employers more. At some points, it goes to the employees more. We're currently in a time period where the power on the employee side has certainly become much more visible, much more powerful, as there's such a shortage in labor throughout markets. Employers from the very small to the very large are having massive problems keeping people. And you're seeing problems even with companies. I'm sitting in Cupertino, California, not far from the Apple headquarters, where Apple even claims they're having problems with brain drain and other. So in that environment, it's certainly become part of the discussion around employees. But what is necessary to keep and retain the best talent in a business that might be a software business or tech business is different than if you're working at the steel mill or at Denny's. It's a different world in the different stratifications of employees that you see as well.
I take it for granted that hands-on workplace doesn't work well in remote working. 4 day work weeks, though, is a new concept. And from what I understand, there are businesses that have been doing it for some time and find it successful as a way of building morale and also as a competitive device. We offer this possibility for these positions. But before I go further in selling it the way London is selling it, I move to an alternative view, which is that working from home is not working, that it's divisive in office places, and that the hybrid solution or compromise, which is popular these last months, is not an answer, that hybrid working has led to, to underline the way it's presented in the Financial Times, it's led to alienation in the workplace, much more time spent on Zoom trying to confer about matters that would be very straightforward in an office environment, or this, the Japanese even contributing that they believe they've lost 30% productivity because of remote working. And we know the Japanese work 24/7. So putting these ideas together, is there a vision that you see coming up? A 4 day work week, 4 days in the office, or a 4 day work week, one remote, five, something like that? Are you hearing any of these stories, Chris? Because I'm just reading it in London now, not in New York.
I think that the real question is, what will be that point post-pandemic? If we are, through Omicron, now returning to some form of normalcy, I think you'll see businesses highly incentivized to get people back in the office, simply because over the last 2 years of lockdowns, and we see it in our business and other businesses, you have what many call a form of business COVID fatigue. People not being in the same room, not being able to answer questions, work a whiteboard, resolve problems. So I think that business will have a huge push to bring people back. The question is whether those people will seek to come back or refuse to come back. But I definitely think there's a potentially very significant negative impact on innovation and new product development and overall economic growth over the next 2, 3, 4 years if people do not come back to the office.
The question is asked, is this a generational conversation? I'm a boomer. We're out of the workplace in large part. There are senior partners, there are emeritus professors, but no longer in the main action, the front line. You're a Gen Xer. You are in the leadership role, your generation right now. Millennials, my children, now with their experience of the remote, obliged remote because of the pandemic, are a transition. And then we have Gen Z, unknown now. They're just emerging from college into the workplace. 4 days, does that sound productive to you for your knowledge workers? And then a 3-day weekend? Or does that sound like is there a token gesture of employee competition and that it would have to be something that was particularly important, or there would have to be a salary or a compensation adjustment? How does it strike you as an employer?
I think as an employer, I see it potentially as in two ways. One, within the mandate of the employer, if the work gets done, if you're able to perform and do what needs to be done in a proper manner, I don't think many employers would say, hey, I'm materially against a 4-day work week, unless you're in environments where you're having to support a customer 5 days or other. But I think that the employers are not necessarily thinking through for business that we have in India or China or Eastern Europe. The work ethic delta between the East and the West is extremely noticeable. And the challenge that people do not understand is this decoupling from the office can boomerang. Because the decoupling is, if you're not coming into the office in Tulsa or in Wichita, then I'm not so sure that that job can't be moved to Poland, can't be moved to Bangalore, can't be moved to Shenzhen or other. It puts those employees at risk on a longer term path, because with the evolution of technology, business is more and more global, and the pandemic has proven that remote working can work. But the question back for business at any level is, will that remote worker be in Tulsa, or will that remote worker be in Bangalore?
Chris, you're traveling, telling you now, is the recovery underway? We're getting mixed numbers out of the growth from Wall Street. The Federal Reserve is moving, it says, to answer the inflation that we've been experiencing for some time. Are business relationships reawakening? Is travel pouring again after the Omicron pause of December?
Being in San Francisco yesterday, seeing lots more tourists than in prior trips, seeing the numbers this morning on GDP up 6.9 as a forecasted number, it seems that things are coming back, but they're still very choppy as businesses are still trying to get a handle on if we're through the last wave of COVID, or is this just another pause until the next?
And internationally, Britain, for example, it has colorful internal problems right now about birthday cakes. But in any event, the masks are gone in London. They're still on in Edinburgh and northern cities. The expectation is that we're back at work and that the tube population is growing to the city. Do you hear from your European colleagues or your Asian colleagues that they're moving in the same way?
Very much so. I think the UK is a bit more forward thinking than continental Europe in terms of saying, hey, we're done with this self-imposed mandate to shut down business and to keep everyone stuck in their homes. So you're seeing resistance there. And even in continental Europe, it's starting to push back more and more heavily. But normal business activities, trade shows, conventions, conferences are still being pushed well back into the year or into 2023. So there'll still be some significant level of disruption.
And the disruption, the driver supply chain, any new vision of that? Has it been pushed back into 23 for solutions?
Watch China very, very closely, plus or minus February 11th, 12th, when you get a sense of what is the return to work in China post-Chinese New Year. If COVID is rampant in China post-Chinese New Year, we have a very, very big problem on our hands globally. If China comes back and the wheels of the manufacturing machine start turning again, the shortages will start to ease, not overnight, but they are easing.
Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholar.com, The Scholar Report, Global Technology. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.